We just got the inflation numbers, and they were absolutely amazing. The core, the CPI inflation is at 2.5%. The previous reading was 2.9%, so absolutely amazing CPI results. But the market didn't move. In fact, the market moved slightly down and is trading right now exactly where it happened. That's because the market doesn't care about CPI anymore. They actually care about another chart. And a lot of people aren't actually watching this chart as closely as they should be watching the chart. I'm going to show you exactly what chart the market should be looking at. And it's not a macroeconomic chart and it's not the CPI chart. Also, as you know, I've been away for a couple of days. I got away. I was in Kenya. I was in the bush. This is where I was, more or less, just so you can see like where I woke up. This is what my mornings looked like. And the reality is that I had a lot of time to think about things that I don't generally think about when we're here and making videos every single day, because, you know, you get caught up in the grind here and stuff like that. And while I was there, instead of relaxing, I landed up making huge changes to my portfolio. And I want to show you those changes, because I think that when I show you those changes and I show you major, major, major changes that I made in my portfolio, I think you're going to do exactly the same. I'm going to show you exactly what I sold, exactly what I bought, and I'm going to tell you exactly why I bought and sold what I bought. So I'm back. And there's a lot to talk about, guys. It's huge today. Let's go. First of all, I want to celebrate a massive milestone with you guys. So you guys know that we started Banter around November of 2020. That was the pandemic year. We started Banter around November of 2020. Here we are. Sorry, 2020 or 2021? 2021. Yeah, it was 2021. And here we are. Here we are. It was 2021. And here we are 3 years later. And we are now over 1 million subs. In fact, we're on 1,086,000 subscribers. Absolutely, absolutely amazing. You guys are an absolute bunch of legends for subscribing. You know what this means as well? It means that, A, we're the fastest growing community in crypto, but it also means that the Banter bags are almost up for grabs. When Banter Plus gets to 350,000 subscribers, then we give away the Banter bags, and we still haven't selected all the winners. So you better subscribe as quickly as possible if you're not subscribed. Also, go later on and just give them a subscribe link for Banter Plus, because you got to be subscribed to both. Also, if you want a big shout out to some legends, I know a lot of you went to Ton Station. Ton Station is that app on Telegram, the marketplace for gaming on Telegram. And I told you guys that there's probably a once in a lifetime opportunity to get tokens in a project that Alex Becker and Elio are actually day-to-day involved in, one of these projects. It's called Ton Station. It's a marketplace for gaming. And if you go there between now and the 7th of October, you can actually farm tokens and you'll get free tokens. How you do that is you go to the this video over here. You go to the link over here. And you look for the one that says Ton Station and you use this link. You must use that link. Otherwise, you're not going to get as many tokens. So join the Banter squad and get as many tokens as possible. But you are running out of time, so do it as quickly as possible. Anyway, with the formalities out the way, let's talk about what's happening on the markets. Everyone's focused on the CPI charts. Wrong focus, guys. Wrong focus. I see everybody talking. CPI is going to come out today. If it's 2.5 or below, it's going to be amazing. The markets are going to run. Okay, well, we got 2.5 and below. We got exactly 2.5. And the markets aren't running. And that's because the markets, you guys are all focused on the wrong chart, or at least the markets are focused on the wrong chart. The reality is we were expecting 2.5% CPI. We got 2.5% CPI. That's already priced into the market. We'll talk about that later. The one chart that most people are not focused on, and probably the most important chart in crypto right now, is this chart over here. This chart over here is Trump's odds on Polymarket and Bitcoin. So it's a correlation between Trump's odds on Polymarket and Bitcoin, Trump's odds of winning the elections and the Bitcoin price. And basically what you're starting to see here is you're starting to see that Bitcoin has not been moving with any major charts. It's not correlated to the NASDAQ. It's not correlated to gold. It's actually the biggest correlation on Bitcoin right now is what is the probability that Trump wins the elections. Now, I know you're going to say, well, you know, like Trump's not the make it or break it for crypto. But what you can see is that Bitcoin was actually doing very well yesterday. We were, you know, breaking up above the 50. We even touched like 58,000. And then the debate started. And to be honest, the debate was very much late, very late at night for us. So I kind of woke up, took my phone to the bathroom, looked at my phone, and I saw, I swear my wife must think I'm having an affair because I take my phone to the bathroom in the middle of the night, I'm looking at my phone. I was checking to see what the Bitcoin price was because I knew I missed the debate, okay? And so I checked my phone, I saw Bitcoin at 56,500. I was like, bad debate for Trump. But I didn't look at the debate because then I knew I wouldn't be able to fall asleep again. Then this morning when I woke up, I looked at Poly Markets, and what did I see? I saw that the odds when I woke up were 49.49. So it was 49.49. That is what happened this morning. And I knew that yesterday Trump was on 53.45. So I was like, hold on a second. If that's what happened, it looks like the chart that everybody is fixated on is this chart over here. Now, this chart is not, it's not about Bitcoin. Like, this whole thing is not about Bitcoin. But Trump is better for markets. Trump is better for rate cuts. Trump is better for the economy. Trump, the Democrats are better for government spending, no doubt about that. But Trump is much better in stimulating the economy, reducing taxes, and building business and infrastructure and liquid assets. That's what Trump is better for. And so, look, yesterday there was a debate. I listened to the debate this morning. The truth is, I kind of knew that Trump wasn't going to really win a debate against Kamala Harris. I said it on the Front Runners research call. We have a research call with our Front Runners, our Discord community, every morning. And I said it to them yesterday on the research call from the Game Reserve. I said, look, Kamala is a very good orator. She's very, very, very well-spoken. And Trump actually isn't. Trump's not a thinker. He's not a good debater. And so I was concerned that Kamala would actually win the debate. Now, I don't know if she won or didn't win. It depends who you listen to. Trump fans are saying Trump won. Trump says, of course, that he won. He said he doesn't think he needs to debate Kamala Harris again because he's already won the debate. He's also already debated Joe Biden. So I don't think for him it's about it's that. I think that what you realize about these debates is that these debates are opportunities to throw stones at the other party. But I think that the reality is that by the time the debates come, I think people have already made up their minds. Like, I can't see anybody changing their minds because Kamala was better in the debate or Trump was better in the debate. I don't think so. I think that in this election, it's very, very, very polarized. There's Trump and you either love or hate Trump, and there's the Democrats and you either love or hate the Democrats. And that's what it's about. And I don't think if Kamala had a slightly better debate yesterday, I don't think that that's going to change the outcome of the elections. And if Trump had a better debate, I think that's going to change the outcome of the elections. I think, to be honest, at this stage of the game, 55 days before the elections, about 55 days before the elections, people have already decided. And the debates are just a forum for people. It's almost like you've already picked your football team and I've picked my football team, and then they go and play each other. It's just an opportunity for us to watch as spectators, as our two teams battle it out. That's it. So it's almost like a debate is a spectator sport, right? And I think when it comes to the spectator sport, there are kind of like two camps. Andrew Tate agrees. He says, the funny thing about these debates is how pointless they are. Absolutely nobody's mind is changed. Nobody's watching them then making a decision. Fags and bimbos want Kamala, go queen. And men wish Trump would just tell her to fuck off and go back to giving... Okay, I'm not going to say it because then I'm going to be removed from YouTube. Pointless. And that's exactly what it is. Also, from a crypto point of view, crypto wasn't discussed. There was like one opportunity where I really thought that Trump could have scored a whole lot of points, but didn't. And you got to ask yourself, why didn't he bring up crypto at this point? Knowing that the Democrat government was so hostile to crypto, he had one like absolutely amazing, amazing, amazing opportunity to bring up crypto. I'll show you where I think if I were Trump and I was serious about crypto, whether I'd bring it up. It's here.
Sold us out when a policy about China should be in making sure the United States of America wins the competition for the 21st century, which means focusing on the details of what that requires, focusing on relationships with our allies, focusing on investing in American-based technology so that we win the race on AI, on quantum computing, focusing on what we need to do to support America's workforce so that we don't
end up... So when they were talking about AI and quantum computing as these critical agencies, Trump could have turned around and said, you know what, you want to talk about keeping jobs in America? You want to talk about keeping critical industries in America? Just look at what you're doing on crypto and blockchain. But it didn't come up, which kind of shows us that blockchain is not the central point here. And that Trump knows that this is actually probably quite polarizing. The blockchain element of it is actually quite polarizing. So that's what it was. Look, it was highly entertaining. And as I said, it was a spectator sport. And as a spectator sport, I think that the debates really lived up to expectation. I don't know if you guys were watching, but to me, like when I woke up this morning, It was like watching a UFC fight. It was like fun. It was like, knock her, bro, knock her. So, like, I'll play you some cool parts, which I thought were cool. I love this part where Trump basically says, you know, Kamala doesn't even know what her policies are. She keeps changing her policies to my policies. Listen to what he said.
And policies like they have, I don't say her because she has no policy. Everything that she believed 3 years ago and 4 years ago is out the window. She's going to my philosophy now. In fact, I was going to send her a MAGA hat. She's gone to my philosophy,
He was going to send her a MAGA hat because she is actually stealing his philosophies, his fracking, no tax on tips, etc., etc. I think that was like one of the best parts. If you liked that one, smash the like button. If you didn't like that one, don't know what else to tell you, but enjoy, smash the like button. I see our likes are very low, very, very, very low. So that's it. There was this part over here, which I think was amazing. So listen to this part.
So she just started by saying she's going to do this, she's going to do that, she's going to do all these wonderful things. Why hasn't she done it? She's been there for 3.5 years. They've had 3.5 years to fix the border. They've had 3.5 years to create jobs and all the things we talked about. Why hasn't she done it? She should leave right now, go down to that beautiful White House, go to the Capitol, get everyone together and do the things you want to do, but you haven't done it and you won't do it because you believe in things that the American people don't believe in. You believe in things like, we're not going to frack, we're not going to take fossil fuels. So she just started.
So again, it's like, what better thing to do than to actually do it? Couple of other things that we had. Trump mocked her because of what she did in the last debate.
Like, she was big on defund the police. In Minnesota, she went out. Wait a minute, I'm talking now. If you don't mind, please.
Look, I'm showing you a couple of parts here, but again, full disclosure, I do think that Kamala was absolutely, she was impressive in the debate. I'm not going to take that away from her. She was impressive in the debate. I don't think Trump is a good debater. I think Trump was a good debater against Joe Biden, but Joe Biden is like debating a dead person, right? Like you're basically debating someone who's been dead for 6 years. Kamala Harris is not like that. She's very educated. She speaks very, very well. She's calculated in her words, in her approach. So the important thing is that this is now over. The spectator sport is over and we can go back to real business. And real business is that Trump was 58.2%, according to Nate Silver, who's actually really good at predicting the election outcomes. He's talking about Trump with almost 60% and Kamala Harris with almost 40%. And I guess that now that the debate is over, I mean, I love this, which Trump said. He said, that I thought that was my best debate ever, especially since it was 3-on-1. And it was 3-on-1. The moderators of the debate from ABC were appalling. I mean, I thought that it would be biased. I didn't think it would be that biased. Like, you can't make it that blatantly fact-checking Trump in the middle of the debate and not fact-checking Kamala Harris. It was ridiculous. But anyway, it doesn't matter. The debate's over now. Trump says, I don't think we need to debate her because I've won already. And I kind of agree. Like, honestly, you've got 55 days till the election or whatever the number is. Let's just get down to business. These debates aren't doing anything. You're not swaying any voters. Everyone's already decided. I mean, they should probably have the election now. Like, it's finished. Like, just have the election. Everyone's already decided. I don't think that there's that many undecided states. That's where I'm at. All right. That is the debate. I don't want to talk about the debate for very much longer. We spent like 10 minutes on talking about the debate. I want to talk about what it did to the Bitcoin price. And what it did was it brought the Bitcoin price down back. Remember, we were doing well. We were at 58,000. Bang, debate. And so what it did was it actually brought the price down back to the September average. That's where we're at. So what you realize is that the September average is like minus 4.8. We are now minus 4.18. So we're back to the September average. And actually, we are back to the cycle average. So we are exactly tracking the cycle. So no real surprises. No real surprises here at all, actually. Why are September so terrible for Bitcoin? Well, the truth is they're not really that terrible for Bitcoin. You know, the average is minus 4%. It's a bad month for Bitcoin. Is it the worst month? It's the worst month for Bitcoin. Why is it the worst month for Bitcoin? Well, I mean, I read this theory that it's the worst month because people think it's going to be the worst month. For people expect September is bad, so it is bad, which is the most convincing. I don't think it's that. And I also don't think right now that that's what's going on. I think right now, people are absolutely disinterested in crypto. Completely. Look at this is the Coinbase app ranking over time. You can see a slight uptick now, which is, it's a good sign. That slight uptick is a really, really, really good sign, okay? So, September being terrible for Bitcoin is only half the story. You need to add the sell in May and go away. And the truth is, I did tweet about this. We need to sell in May. The problem is not September. The problem is not selling in May. Because then you hear May, June, July, August. By the end of August, you go to September. It's not about the moves in September. It's not about whether September goes up or down. It's about like a new factor, right? And that factor is the move times the frustration. Because like this move in Bitcoin is not really a big move. But when you take the move and you multiply it by the frustration that we've had over the total frustration over the past 3 to 4 months, you kind of realize that the moves in September, the reason why we're so angry at each other, the reason why everybody's like negative and depressed and everything else, it's not about the move in September. It's about the move in September multiplied by the frustration of all the down, choppy and sideways in June, July and August. And I mean, you got to take a position here. And I'm taking a position basically that in 55 days, there's the elections. And this is what happens when the elections happen. Basically, we chop, 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 the elections happen, and then we go up. And again, I think if it's a Trump election, we're really going to go up. And the odds are still on Trump, despite what we saw yesterday. I also still haven't written off September. I got to be honest. Like, I know a lot of people have written off September. I haven't written off September. I still think that we're going to see some kind of pump. I think you guys have been too quick to write off September. But either way, it doesn't matter. I'm positioning myself for a move up. Why am I positioning myself for a move up? Well, for me, it's very simple, right? It's not like blind faith. I'm not positioning myself for a move in September because of blind faith. I'm doing it because of fundamental logical reasons. One of them being the interest rate. One of these being the interest rate cuts, which are now pretty much certain. Okay. Now, get this. So this was before the CPI data came out. There was a 71% chance of a 25 basis point rate cut, right? I'm going to refresh. I specifically didn't refresh it because I want to refresh it with you guys because it just makes it like a bit more fun. So let me refresh. 1, 2, 3. For 25 basis points. So 25 basis points is almost guaranteed. You can tell that to the Irishman because he keeps telling me it's going to be 50 basis points. Not going to be 50 basis points. Going to be 25 basis points, as I said. So we're going to get the rate cut now. Here's the interest rates, the CPI. Remember, the Fed's aiming for 2% inflation. We went down from 2.9 to 2.5. That means if we repeat that one more time, we're basically at 2%. And so now the Fed needs to act. If the Fed doesn't act now, then we got a big problem because then the Fed's really going to be behind the curve. I really think like they're probably one meeting too late. Companies are going bankrupt. There's talk about a recession. Oil price, if you look at the oil price is telling you it's not, you know, the oil price, the reason why the oil price is so important is because the oil price predicts how much economies are going to be working, because oil is like the derivative of energy, and energy is a derivative of strength of the economy and production. And the oil price is kind of telling you, look, we're not expecting, like, the interest rates have been too high for too long. And interest rates which are too high for too long mean lots of businesses going out of business, lots of people being unemployed. And so if the Fed don't act now, then we've got a big problem. Then we're going to go into a big recession and everything else. So I think the Fed this time, if they drop by 25 basis points and then again by 25 basis points, which I don't think they'll do, unfortunately, but let's just say they will, then I think it's good. So I'm positioning myself for lower interest rates. That's what I'm positioning myself for. I'm positioning myself for elections coming up now in 55 days. That's what I'm positioning myself for. That's it. Now, whether it happens today, tomorrow, next week, I don't really care. Because I'm a long-term investor and I'm not trading the short-term movements. I'm trading the longer-term movements. And so I don't mind if we stay down. In fact, to be honest, I think Ansem said it. I don't know if I've got the tweet, but Ansem said it, something like he said, you should be, if your mindset is right, then you should be happy that you got a little bit more time to accumulate the tokens cheap, because when the tokens run, That's it. You guys are all in a big rush. I don't really care. Like, to me, goes up today, goes up tomorrow. I don't really care. I just need it to go up at some point. And that's why, to be honest, I actually took some time off. You know what I mean? I don't really take a lot of time, personal, no market time off. You know, it's quite rare for me to do shit like that. I did go though. I went with my dad and with my son. We spent an amazing, amazing weekend in Kenya. I mean, just look at, this is one of the scenes. We were in a hot air balloon doing a hot air balloon safari. Absolutely amazing. Watching game from up above, which was absolutely amazing. Of course, like with every game drive, you have the Americans who've never seen a zebra before. And, you know, to them, everything's amazing. Just listen. Listen carefully. You'll hear the Americans. Never seen a zebra before. Wow. Can you hear the American in the background? It's cool. A lot of cool American people I met on the trip. That's the hot air balloon making its noise. Okay, so the reality is, like, going away on these vacations is amazing. Gives me time to shut down and not think about work. Also, like, gives me time to think, which I don't really do when I'm sitting here at the office, because I don't get time to think. Because when I'm at the office, I'm having meetings to run the business, and then I'm having, like, I have to sit and prep for the show, which takes 2 hours, and I'm on the research call in the morning, and I spend like an hour down my Discord on front runners. So it's not, I don't get real time to think. And I actually had real time to think. And what I find myself doing was I find myself making big decisions about my portfolio and actually executing those big decisions around my portfolio. And I want to actually share some of those decisions with you, because, I mean, what I was doing, funny enough, was I was executing trades and then I was posting in Front Runners. Now, those of you who don't know what Front Runners is, Front Runners is like, it's the banter Discord. It's where I spend, where I talk to a select few people. If you want to join Front Runners, the waiting list is closed, but if you join and you are let in, you will have a month to decide whether you want to stay in or not. And if you don't want to stay in, you can just ask for a refund. But this is like a limited time offer. But this is where I share all my trades as soon as I take them and stuff like that. And what I started sharing was I started sharing things that I was doing to my portfolio. So the first thing is I added Coinbase to my portfolio. The second thing that I did was I added MicroStrategy to my portfolio, right? And the reason why I did both of those was, well, we'll talk about them one by one, but I started to position myself for the portfolio, for the next part of the bull market, which looks something like that. I started to really position myself and say, is my portfolio really, really fucking ready for the next part of the bull market? Now, generally, in the day-to-day of the grind, we don't spend as much time focusing our portfolio because we're so busy executing and trading. But I was quiet. I was alone. I had a lot of alone time. I didn't have four kids. I didn't have 40 kids that banter, all asking me questions every 5 minutes. And I had time to think. And as I had time to think, I made chances. Someone says front running is illegal. I thought front runners are immoral. No. We just do things first. If you want to join the group, yeah, click on that link. If it's not the best Discord that you've ever been in, then leave and you'll get your money back. It's such an easy luck thing, but try it. It's like going to a restaurant and the guy says to you, taste the food. You don't like the taste, leave. That's it. That's what you need to do. Anyway, so I started making massive changes to my portfolio. I want to walk you through the changes. First change that I did, I added Coinbase and I also added MicroStrategy to my portfolio. Why Coinbase and why MicroStrategy? Well, let's talk about the MicroStrategy trade first. This was my MicroStrategy trade. I said, can we please sell 50% of my GBTC and buy MicroStrategy with the proceeds? What am I doing here? What I'm doing here is I'm saying MicroStrategy is a leverage bet on Bitcoin. You want to buy it when you think Bitcoin's low and sell it when you think Bitcoin's high. Me doing this was moving from Bitcoin to MicroStrategy, from Bitcoin to leveraged Bitcoin. That's pretty much what this trade is. And so I sold 50% of my GBTC, which is my Bitcoin that are on the stock market. And with that, I bought MicroStrategy. That's the first thing. Then I added to my Coinbase position. So why did I add to my Coinbase position? You can see it. Here's the instruction. Can you buy Coinbase $100,000 at $148? Why? Because to me, Coinbase is a proxy for the crypto market. I think the crypto market is depressed. When the crypto market is depressed, I buy Coinbase. And when the crypto market is inflated, I buy Coinbase. So what you can see is, and my mindset is to position from bearish to bullish. So short-term bearish to bullish. Now it's time to get back into leverage Bitcoin, which is MicroStrategy, and into Coinbase, which is a proxy for how well the crypto market does and how well the Nasdaq do together. So that was the first thing that I did. That was like, those were like easy trades. Okay, now let's look at the rest. So then I sent this instruction to the guys. I said, listen, guys, let's build a big position in Rollbit and let's keep the price under 9 cents. Okay, that was the actual, you can see all of these, I'm sending you the tweets or whatever you call it. So what was I actually doing there? The reason why I like Rollbit is because the price of Rollbit doesn't move, guys. The price of Rollbit does not move. As you can see, it's been like between 7 and 10 for a long, 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 long time. Now it's starting to break out. You can see it broke out from that 9.9 and it's starting to break out. And that's why I said, okay, I want to start buying it now. If I look at the fundamentals on Rollbit, Rollbit is a trading platform, right? We love trading platforms. It's got let's see if I can quickly give you the dashboard of the numbers. Hold on a second. Let's see. Do I have the dashboard? Here we go. Just look at this dashboard of numbers. Okay. 30-day casino revenue, $17 million. 30-day futures revenue, $3.987. 30-day revenue. Just have a look at these numbers. How does a platform with these kind of numbers trade at such a low market cap? And so I added Rollbit to my portfolio. Also, I just think that soon they're going to get a tier one exchange listing. And so I want to be holding Rollbit when this all happens. Okay, so Rollbit was another one that I actually did. Next one that I did was Aerodrome. I said, hey guys, let's start buying Aerodrome. And we started buying Aerodrome. You can see it says, and the reason why I'm looking to buy Aerodrome is because Base is growing really, really fast. If Base is growing really, really fast, then the biggest DEX on Base is going to carry on growing. And that's why I landed up buying a whole lot of Aerodrome, right? Aerodrome, for those of you who don't know, is the biggest DEX on Base, okay? And as Base grows, and it is growing every single month, the user numbers are growing every single month, the USDC volume transfer growing is growing. So I believe that the biggest DEX also has to grow. Cool. The next one that I did, and this was one that I did a while ago, actually, and you can see again, it was posted in Front Runners, where I said to the guys, I think it's a huge buy if you're looking for, I think Drift is a huge buy. The VCs bought at this price and they locked up. And we have been buying this since 31 cents. And for those who have been buying at 31 cents, I mean, again, in Front Runners, this we almost doubled our money on a spot trade here, guys, in this market. Can you believe it? Somebody's saying the market is dumping, running emergency. Is the market dumping? It's dumping. It's down $500. Chill. It's just the way that it's going to be. That's not dumping, by the way. Who cares? That's buying opportunity. So landed up buying Aerodrome, landed up buying Drift. Very interestingly now, I see that a lot of people are actually starting to talk about Drift. Obviously, it's going to happen because we're doing Solana Breakpoint at the moment. But when Solana Breakpoint comes, there's a lot of announcements for Drift. And Multicoin also came out with an announcement about Drift protocol yesterday. And they're saying, look, we've been buying and leading the rounds since 2020. And by the way, that's also when I got into my Drift position back in the last cycle. And we've also been buying it on the open market. Now, if they've been buying it on the open market, I just want to show you something. If they've been buying it on the open market for the last 3 months, they've been buying it between 44 cents and the bottom was, for a very short period of time, 25 cents. So they've probably been buying it between 35 and 45. They published a report yesterday. Very, very, very good report. And if you read this report, I'm not going to go through the whole thing, but very, very, very solid report. And they talk about why they would buy Drift. And what they're saying is, we believe that the most successful derivative DEX needs to be built on an L1 where other issued assets are issued on-chain. We do not think that app chain derivative DEXs will win because they are never as performant as centralized exchanges, nor will they be able to compose the other programs, etc. And they write this whole thing about how Drift allows people, Drift is the biggest perp trading DEX on Solana. It allows people to trade a whole lot of things, and they recently also launched like a poly markets competitor and a real world asset play. And effectively, they are allowing you to trade any value on Solana in a very cool, very fun way. And of course, the interface, let me see if I can quickly show you the interface just to show you how amazing this interface actually is. Just want to see if I've got a wallet plugged in. I think I have. Probably the same wallet that I actually bought. I bought last night as well. More. Just keep buying and buying. Drugs. Okay, so this is the interface. It looks and feels like a centralized exchange. You can trade, you can bet. You can bet this is their Poly Markets thing. And if you look at Drift, Drift's only got $500 million market cap. Now, at the end of the report that Multicoin wrote, they actually value the token. So what they do here is they actually value the token. And they're saying our base case is around $3.58, which is around a 10x. Our optimistic one is our pessimistic is 143. Our optimistic is 716. I believe that this should be on a $3 billion market cap, which is about a 6x from here. So that's kind of like where I believe. And that kind of puts it, probably about 6x. That's about, 3.5 billion. That's exactly where I believe it should be. And so that's why I keep adding to my Drift position. I've been adding a lot to my Drift position. I think the word is aping. I think the right word here is aping. So I have been aping a lot. As you can see, it's at 52%. I actually bought yesterday at higher than 52 cents, but I'm holding it for the long term. And this is a all or nothing bet on trading on an L1 chain and trading anything on an L1 chain. So that's another one which I landed up buying. Next one that I bought, and I bought a small position, Ether Vista. Here it is. Under $21. It's much lower than that right now. So you can buy it at the same price. Again, why? Because I think that the meme coin cycle is coming to an end, but I think that there is one more breath of life in it. And that is Ether Vista. And you can see they're becoming a pump.fun on Arbitrum, ETH, Optimism, Base, etc., etc., etc. So I took an Ether Vista position. The other two that I'm looking at is Levana. Why? Because Levana is the biggest perp dex on Cosmos. For me, like, you've got to have a Cosmos play because one of these Cosmos plays will work. And Cosmos, because all the chains are connected through IBC, effectively what happens is if you have one Perpetuals dex on Cosmos, you're basically getting exposure to all the winners in the Cosmos ecosystem. Someone says Hyperliquid is better than Drift. Hyperliquid's great, but you can't buy it. So, I mean, it's all very well talking about things you can't buy. Long story short, I summarized what I did. If you look at all the things that I did in my portfolio, I can summarize it for you in two sentences. And I think this is where you got to pay attention, because I know that, like, the rest of the time you haven't been paying attention. So just pay attention for 2 seconds. I summarized all the changes that I made into my portfolio into two sentences. One is I've positioned myself as bullish for the next couple of months, whereas before I was a little bit defensive. What I mean is I transferred my MicroStrategy back to GBTC, and now I'm going from GBTC back to MicroStrategy. I'd never sold Coinbase, but I didn't buy any additional Coinbase after the purchase that I made at like $70, or I don't remember when the last purchase I made was. And now I'm adding to that position. That means I'm going more risk on. Next, I am shuffling my portfolio in such a way. And when you look at everything that I've spoken to you about here, let's look at all of these things. One, Coinbase. Two, Rollbit. Three, Aerodrome. Four, Drift. Five, Levana. Six, Ether Vista. When you look at all of these things, what is the one thing they all have in common? Josh, what is the one thing they all have in common? You sorry, bro? Fired. Josh is doing a spreadsheet. It's killing him. But we have to teach him to do spreadsheets if he wants to be a CEO. Can you be a CEO without doing a spreadsheet? No. Impossible. Impossible. Unless you're a spreadsheet wizard. Let me know in the chat if you think... Let's do a poll. Do you think you can be a good CEO without being a spreadsheet wizard? Yes or no? Do that poll. Yes or no? Okay. And don't let me catch anyone else not listening to what I say, because I take it quite personally. I work really hard to create these shows. Anyway, the thing about all these tokens that I've spoken about is, if you look at them, and this was completely coincidental. It wasn't planned. I see that what I've landed up doing is I've landed up coming back to my thesis. And my thesis is that blockchain is about creating and trading value. Creating, sending, and trading value. That is what blockchain can be about, right? And so in a world where you are in a technology which is about creating, trading, and sending value, you need to be invested in the creating, sending, and trading value. You don't really want to be in the place where the value in the experiments. Because I don't know if Deepin's going to work. Deepin may work. Deepin may not work. I don't know. I don't really care. AI may work, may not work. What I know is that If DeepIn works, people are going to trade DeepIn tokens value. If AI works, people are going to trade gaming value. Speaking of gaming, if gaming works, people are going to trade gaming value. Remember, last chance, if you want to be part of this Ton Station thing, and I really, it's free. I'm not asking you to invest money. It's free. Just click this link, go and sign up, go and fiddle around there, and you'll land up getting some tokens, and that's probably the best thing that you can do. Just go and do it, man. So, in a world where we have developed a technology which is about creating value where it didn't exist and trading value, you want to be positioned in all the picks and shovels. All the picks and shovels are the trading platforms. In the previous run, the trading platforms that actually ran were the exchanges. Remember, like the last cycle, Bybit token, Binance token, KuCoin token, all of that shit, right? Those are the ones that actually ran in the last cycle. The next generation of trading is decentralized. It's more interesting, etc. And so, if you look at all the ones that I've bought, and here's a better thing. Here's a spreadsheet for you of all the trading platforms out there. I mean, how much easier can I make this for you guys? Here is a spreadsheet of all the good, viable trading platforms. ThorChain, trading value cross-chain, decentralized. Jupiter, trading on Solana. Aerodrome, trading on Base. Velodrome, good bet on the Optimism ecosystem. Vista, which is ETH Vista, which is around creating value, which is creating pump.fun tokens on ETH. Astroport, which is trading on Cosmos, as is one is trading perpetuals and one is trading spot, as is Lavana. Cetus is trading on Sui. Coinbase is a derivative on the whole market. Rollbit is degen fucking trading. Orderly is trading liquidity. Drift, we've spoken about. Lavana, we've spoken about. GMX, Hyperliquid. All of these are trading options. My feeling is as follows. You have like a last chance to position. If our thesis is right, and our thesis may be right, our thesis may be wrong, who the hell knows? We just run with the thesis. You got to take a bet in life. You know, if you don't speculate, you don't accumulate. Take a bet. You might be right, you might be wrong. Manage your risk. My bet, my speculation is that we're going into the bull market and it's going to be aggressive. We're going into the banana zone and it's going to be aggressive. And I may be wrong. Who knows? Maybe the whole market crashes tomorrow. But if I'm right, I want to be well positioned. And I figure you got one last chance to get well positioned. What I'm recommending to you is take time off from the day-to-day grind. Take time off and actually think about your portfolios and start positioning yourself. And when I positioned myself, I went back to fundamentals without actually even realizing it. I said, if this technology is going to be about creating, trading, and sending Bitcoin value, then I want to be invested in the platform. Hold on, let's just see. Coinbase trader guys. Who's traders guys? Hold on. Coinbase traders. Who are they? Who's Coinbase traders? The official handle of Coinbase Advanced. Hold on a second. Okay. So that's the story. Now, again, if you want to be trading, you can trade on centralized exchanges or decentralized exchanges. If you want to trade on centralized exchanges, if you want to trade on decentralized exchanges, Evo, Drift, amazing places to go trade. If you want to trade on centralized exchanges, I have amazing offers for you. So here are amazing offers for you. Number one, if you want to win a Cybertruck over here, then, and also, by the way, if you sign up and deposit over 100K on Bybit, trade 8 million, you will receive $5,000 bonus and you'll only pay $3,200 in fees. That's like, and you get a chance to win a Cybertruck. Number one, BitGet, you can win a signed Messi jersey. So go and hit that and sign up with that. The other one that you can sign up to if you want, and this is one that it's pretty interesting. It's called Prime XBT. The reason why I use this one is because sometimes I want to be trading things like the S&P 500 or gold. If you can, yeah, if you see over here, you can trade S&P 500, gold, and a whole lot of others on a crypto platform. Right now, I don't know about you guys. I don't really want to. Trade outside of the crypto universe. I don't really want to trade on my like brokerage account because I find it very, very boring. Right. So if you want to trade that, just go to Prime XBT. There's a link below. use this link. It supports the channel when you do that. If you want to trade all those other things, that's where I like it. You get up to $400 in trading bonuses when you make a deposit of over $2,000. Anyway, listen, I will see you guys again tomorrow. It's great to be back. Great to be back rested and then thinking. And as you can see, I'm not kind of buzzed and on a high. See you guys again tomorrow. Until then, trade well, my friends.